you're in the Christmas mood, let's sing together. Come on. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept the watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yeah. A shepherd.
Morning, everyone. Come on in, have a seat. We don't bite. Well, Jack bites, but sometimes. All right, so we're just counting down to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We love Christmas. We love the Lord. So let's stand on up. We're going to bring it in. Shout out the joy we're going to have in a couple weeks from now.
Sing the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sing the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sing the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sing the all of heaven and all creation sing. The wonders of his love, all of heaven and all creation sing. The wonders of his love, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. All of heaven and all creation sing the wonders of his love.
All right, everybody, sing it out.
Joy to the world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Let's go, let's see it.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
I will love you.
strength, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, yeah. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my.
All right, you ready? We're going back. We ain't done yet. No, we're singing love the Lord your God with everything that you got. So you're going to follow what I will love you. Are you ready? I will love you.
Sing it up.
Cheer.
Drummer's okay. Embrace, I am undeserving, you are high enough.
you for your glory, my all in all. You are worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. I worship you.
Grace, that I will be held by your perfect embrace. God, I just know this time of year with all its festive stuff and every and all the joys that we sing about, God, that God in many of us there is a hole that is just painful. That we may be putting on the game face and just surviving through the holidays and through whatever, through life, actually, God. But right now, just pour out your grace that we will just be held by you. So, Lord, just take this time together in each and every day of our life and be with us and guide us in your holy name, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to please sit down if you can. We've got something special, right? Okay? Let me turn this on.
We have a special friend or some special friends that we're going to welcome from a little bit far away. It's our friends in Haiti. It's Haven Community Church Haiti. There we go, right there. So, hi, Pastor Oog.
Hi.
Can we turn that up some? Can we turn it some more? Can you see us? There he is. There's Pastor Oog. There's the church. Hi. Everybody say hi to the church in Haiti. How are you, my friend? We're good. Are you ready for Christmas?
The church wants to say you hello.
Sorry. Pastor Jack? Yes, sir.
The church wants to say you hello.
Okay. Hello, everyone in Haiti. There we are. We can't. How's everything going? Here, show me.
That's okay.
Got a little echo here. How is everything in Haiti? It's cold here. Be sure to tell everyone there how much we love and care for them. And we just are so glad that God brought you all into our lives.
Okay.
Where's my little girl? Where's Shanali? Where's she? He's gonna find her. There she is. There's my girl. Hey, baby. There she is. Good to see everyone there. We're so glad that everyone is doing well. In Haiti, we pray for you all the time. And this is your church family here. We love you. We pray for you and Leogan and Petit Guav and everyone else. And I know we talk a lot, but it's great to go ahead and let everyone here get a look at some of our brothers and sisters and just know how much we love you. Sounds like he's got the Spirit of God, right? So, got a little echo. We love you dearly, and we know that you guys got some worship to do, right? You're worshiping today, and so we're glad we're going to let you get back to worship. We're going to make them worship as hard as you do in Haiti today, so they got their work cut out for them. But be sure, hey, let everyone know, here we go. We love you all, and hopefully we'll talk to you before Christmas. Give everyone a hug for us, and we'll see you again soon. All right, my brother? God bless everyone. Say bye. All right. Awesome, huh? Okay, great. Isn't that great? They are so awesome. Sorry, I had to get my personal little girl in there. I love her to death, so I had to get her. All right. Oh, we got offering. I don't even know where I am now. Okay, so You're like, Pastor forgot offering? What's going on here? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. At this time, we're going to move to our Advent. We are in the second season of Advent. I remember as a kid, every candle was lit. I meant that was one more closer to getting presents. What we're thinking about now is that this is just one more time where we recognize the true gift of Jesus. I was thinking the other day, I would be pretty ticked if it was my birthday and people forgot to really focus on me and celebrating it. So last week we talked about hope. Today we're going to talk about the love of God. Love of God so much that he sent his son into the world. Okay, so here we go. Please watch this video.
Lord God, as we have experienced your love, love from our brothers and sisters in Haiti, and love from you for sending your son, we would have never been united with these people we call our brothers and sisters if it wasn't for the love given by God the Father by sending his son. And so, Lord, we want to live out that love here in our world today. So, God, right now, as we come together as people in a world that just doesn't seem to love as much as it did, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us into our lives, the blessings that people who are brothers and sisters in Haiti, people who are brothers and sisters here who struggle, people who we may not even know are touched by the power of your Holy Spirit through the blessings that you've given to us. And so, God, right now, as we take time to go ahead and continue to worship through receiving your tithe and our offerings, God, just bless it and meet your needs here and literally around the world. So that, God, you sent the light of the world into this dark world. May we shine all the brighter through that Holy Spirit that you've given to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you, usually sometimes we sit during offering, but you can't sit during this song about talking about Jesus being the light of the world. Please stand and let's just be the light of the world.
Heart longs for a little bit of hope.
Time. Our children can leave for Shoreline Sunday School. Say hello to those around you.
All right, Christmas is coming. I am getting fat. There we go. All right, so, wow, some really cool stuff that's just going on here that hopefully you'll receive in the midst of the message today, in the midst of the rest of the service. Just things that because of preparing all week and seeing how God's moving already, it's pretty awesome. So hang in there, all right? Visitors. Just want to welcome you today. If you're visiting with us, glad to see you here. Hope that you just relax and have a great time in the Lord and just worship in covering and in His presence. That's what we want you here for. Hopefully you received a card. We have a small gift for you being our guest. If you're watching for church online today, or you're watching for the very first time, or you're just a regular, we want to welcome you, and we hope that God is ministering to you right where you are in the midst of that. And so we give you a shout out. Everybody give a shout out. There you go. They're a little slow today. We'll give it to them. Okay. Shout out to the people who are here. There we go. All right. All right, isn't it cool? All right. So, man, you can tell people, you had people from Haiti in church, you had people from all over the world, pretty awesome. Parish Foundation today, the Parish Foundation dinner is serving today, and I think we're all, no, 16th, sorry. Hey, you can go if you want, they're serving. but it's the 16th, so hopefully you'll be able to connect. couple other things, Hope for Haiti. You can see that. We are, many of the ladies who are there in that church are those exact ones who made some of the things to sell. And so we hope that you will go ahead and you'll participate in that and help support them in their lives. I was just thinking of that verse, for all who wait, for all who hunger, for those who prayed. And it's pretty awesome that we are talking to people who have waited in their lives, who have been hungry, who have prayed, and God sent us to them. That's amazing. That's the light of the world coming down. It just hit me during that verse. Christmas caroling. Joanne here? Do I see Joanne? Oh, she's out there. She's getting people to carol. So if you want to carol, you're in this festive spirit, you like the song, go ahead, connect. You can see the information that is there from 1 to 3:30 today at Singly Manor in Elkton Transitions today. Angel Tree, I think we have 10 more left, which is awesome. So if 10 more for those children that don't, because of life situation, won't have anything for Christmas, if you feel led, please take that angel. Go ahead. It'll have all the information on that. And you can get them back by next week. That would be awesome. Stockings for soldiers. Thank you. And Total Haven provided 106 stockings for soldiers and veterans around the world. This is 30 more than last year. That's 31 more. That's awesome. Okay, so thank you all for that. I talked to Rob Crouch. He said it was so awesome to see people from all walks of life come in and just support. And he said the whole place was filled with stockings for soldiers. So that is awesome. Thank you so much. Joe Corby's will be in, pick up on Friday, December 14th. Gosh, that's here. And so a couple other things. Poinsettia orders. You have this in here. You need them. They are due. We need to get them in by next Sunday. Just write the 16th down. It's busy for a lot of things. If you have to remember anything, say the 16th. Grace Share continues to go on. Love for you to participate in that as well. And you can look here. This is an insert. And it's perfect timing right after the holidays, right? Financial peace. If you've ever said, hey, I just can't ever get ahead. I don't feel like I really know how to manage money. I don't really feel like I feel like I'm living around my means. In case you don't know, many of us live above our means. Some of us live way above our means and all over the place. So we are going to do Financial Peace University. So I challenge you, if you want to participate in that, please contact Debbie DeVirgilio, and you can have her email there, lay-leader@havencc.org, and it will go to her. And Dave Ramsey and his team lead that whole thing. It is great. It is I know we've had people go through it before, and it is effective. And we are thrilled to be offering that again here for church. All right? Prayers. There's an anonymous one, which is a happy birthday to Andy Dempsey back there. Andy Dempsey. All right. So if the sound's a little bit off today, he's another year older. Bear with him, okay? He's getting closer. Just messing with him. It's never off when those guys are back there. He might turn me off right now. June asked for prayers for Debbie Day and her family and the loss of her father, Edward Dempsey. So we want to lift prayers here. So good to see you here, right? You get health, feeling a little bit better, so we're glad that you're here, Lil. Glad he's back. He's had some health issues and working through that, right? Okay, so we want to continue to pray for you and support you in love and care. And do we have any others back there? Okay, any other prayers? Okay, yeah, we'll go with this one, and then we're going to move on. He what? Okay, so Camden broke his foot this week, so we want to lift him up in prayers. We also want to pray for everybody who is in this holiday rush. Does it feel like the whole year went like this real quick, and everybody's trying to get stuff done? We're going to share some of that today, and we want to continue to lift people in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to you today once again, and we are your servants. And God, just find us faithful. continue to pour out your Spirit on us. We get caught up in all the other cool stuff of Christmas, and sometimes you get lost in the midst of your birthday celebration. God, I pray that we will just refocus and focus on you, who you are. I thank you for birthdays. I thank you, God, just for being present in your healing process. I thank you, Lord, for just hearing our prayers for those who have experienced loss. We want to continue to lift up the Stecker family and the loss of their father, Ron Ashbridge, and for the Day family and the loss of Edward. God, just whatever need we have for those who have hurt, who have injuries or breaks or all kinds of other things. God, you know the deepest depths of our hearts. And so, God, we just lift that up to you. And I just got this feeling, God, that we just need to lift up us. We need to lift up this kind of heaviness that hits this season, this heaviness that may be pervasive in our lives, that we see just conflict within our government, within our places of business, within our families, within ourselves. And God, you came to be the Prince of Peace. And so help us just to receive that here today. So God, whatever you have for us today, and it's really cool how you have a theme in the midst of all of this. And I'm just kind of chuckling to myself because I had nothing to do with it, and you had everything to do with it. So God, be with us and love us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
All right, everyone, here we are. I'm going to give a message today, God with us. And it's funny, I want you to keep in mind just some of the songs that we sang today. The songs were early this week. Wayne was on it early, and I mean, he was earlier than what I knew I was going to preach on. Remember last week I said I'm going to preach on something? I showed up Wednesday night to worship and practice, and they usually say, what's the message on? And I said, I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's all I know, because that's all God's given me at this point. It was really interesting, that song, Light of the World. We sang two of my favorite songs today back to back, and two of my favorite songs with the bridges. In case you aren't musical, that's the part that really makes you feel like you're at the feet of Jesus. Glorious Grace, God's Your Grace, like Rising Seas, that part is just something that just transforms me into the presence of God. And then that last part, For All Who Wait, and then when you get to Behold Your King. You know, that's a word that we've lost in our vernacular, behold. Behold. Everybody say that. Say behold. Behold. And when you think about this, behold your king. Behold Messiah. This is the one that people prayed for, that waited for, hoped for, and then here he is in a manger in Bethlehem. Here he's being told by a multitude of angels, behold, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, which is Christ the Lord. And we become so numb to that in our culture that we hear Charlie Brown and Linus saying it, and we kind of forget the majesty of God in beholding your King, the fact that God became one of us and became with us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And so let me ask you a question. Who enjoys Christmas? Who loves Christmas? Okay, there we go. Some of you, how many of you had some like different different traditions in your family? How many have like some special traditions in your family? What are some of your traditions? What are some of the things you do? How many celebrate on Christmas Eve with family? Okay. How many are Christmas Day? How many whenever you can get everybody together? I remember one time we had these friends that we knew for years, and I remember one year we sat down. And it was in the middle of the summer, and we said, okay, and their daughter had birthdays in April. Jill and I had birthdays in April, and we all sat down. They were like, okay, Christmas 1983, and then we passed out gifts, and we opened. And then it was like, okay, birthdays 1984, and we passed them out. And then we were like, okay, Christmas 84, and we celebrated like birthdays and Christmas. It was ridiculous, right? That we even said that. We said, time out. Let's not do this anymore, okay? So there's some of those. But some of us, how many have like some special little thing or an ornament that you have to hang on the tree? I remember as a joke, I took a dog bone from our dog growing up, Maggie, and I took it and I stuck it on the tree. And my mom was like, oh, I like that. And it comes out every year, you know. Maggie's been gone years ago. But that bone kind of gets up on the family tree. And so how many of you feel like we're just running at this time of year? Like this is, we just hit high gear. We're you know, heading down around the racetrack, and we're going. For us, some of it's really hectic. Now, when it comes to Christmas, I there was parts of me that loved Christmas when I was younger. And then there's parts of me right now, one of the things I do love about Christmas is the old movies. Like, you put on White Christmas, I'm good. Right, I know the story. I know snow. It won't be long. Right, I know all that. I know the whole story. I get it all. But I'm gonna watch it. If it's a Wonderful Life, I'm gonna watch it. I don't care where he's running down the street, oh, Mr. Potter. You know, all that kind of stuff. I don't care. I'm watching it. That's who I am. I'm gonna do it. Yesterday, I got a chance to watch, I think probably, which is my all-time favorite, the old Miracle on 34th Street. And it's the color-enhanced one, which makes me feel good, okay? And I love that movie. It's a classic. It's awesome. And there's everything about it I just love. I love the message. I love everything about it. You know, those movies were good, and it makes me long for people who could write decent movies now. I like that in many ways. Now, as an adult, I will admit to you, there's another movie that has crept into my Christmas culture. It's called A Christmas Carol. I am Ebenezer Scrooge at times. Bah humbug. Anybody with me? There are some bah humbug-ist nature, and my kids and family would probably say there's a lot of it in there. But I do have some other things that I love. I love Amazon Prime. I love the fact that they have changed the whole culture, that everybody wants to deliver to you in 2 days, and Amazon says, let me drone it to your house. I love it. It's awesome. I love the facts of that. Years ago, I used to decorate the front yard, much to Melissa's chagrin, with plastic light-up people. I loved it. And so then I just got too lazy and old. So now I get one of those laser and one of those things that spins on your house. Decorations. I'll have it done in about 2 minutes today, okay? So that's what I do. But there is a lot going on. You've gone to gatherings and parties, and it seems like you're running in many different places. And so as we get to Christmas itself, it was great when we were dating, because when Melissa and I were dating, I found out her family celebrates on Christmas Eve. That's awesome. We always celebrate on Christmas. It worked perfect. And so now we have this thing called church in there too. So we got to fit that in the midst of everything. So we still do it, but it's, you know, it's a very hectic time. When I was in Lewis the year, I remember Christmas fell on a Sunday, and they needed to have church for all 8 people who showed up in that worship service. It was a church of 1,000 people. You get with me? So I literally had there was 4 Christmas services, 3 which I was responsible for, 5, 7, I think there was an 8, there was like a 9, and then there was a midnight service, okay? So I had that. So after I got to the midnight service, I drove all the way home. After I drove all the way home, got up at 6 o'clock in the morning with very young kids, opened presents. I think Rachel was sick at the time. She threw up everywhere. It was fun. I got in the car. I drove all the way down to Lewis. It was just me and Santa Claus out there, and he was home by all that time. And then I got down there. I drove the fastest I could because nobody was stopping me. I got down there, had for the 8 people, and we had a cake for 8 people, and I came all the way back, and then I sat, I collapsed, and it was the, I'll tell you, I remember, it was the year that the Polar Express came out on video, and you know what I did? I laid down, went to sleep, and slept all of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Right? And so sometimes you just feel so exhausted, and with everything else going on and getting ready for the Christmas season and Christmas Day, one of the things that has been kind of cool is that, you know, sometimes, and I think throughout life, sometimes Melissa and I feel like we're just passing each other in certain times. One of the things I was thinking about I really, really love and enjoy is when everybody's in bed and everybody's away and church is completed and we're just sitting there. Melissa and I have used that time for us to just open gifts. You know, even if we had nothing or not much of any money to give, it's just our time to just stop and just to think about, you know, that we're appreciative for each other and to give gifts. And I've always been one who's really excited. Believe me, I like getting. Get me wrong. I like getting stuff, but I also love getting. I've always wanted to think about things and want something special for people. And so what I recognize is much of our existence, and in Christmas especially, we are near to each other, but often we're not with each other. And so that time on Christmas Eve allows us time to be with each other. Because, you know, we go to parties together. We go to gatherings. Sometimes we get to see each other in church. But we're not with each other. We're near each other. And I started thinking, many of us have the same approach to our relationship with God. That we are in the vicinity of God. We're near to God, but we're not with Him. And we're struggling to find that. And I want to tell you, there is a big difference between being near and being with God or with someone. There's a very big difference. You can be in the same room, but not be with someone. You can be sitting there. Have you ever said, hey, let's spend time together? And you sit down and you watch the television. And you're watching maybe a sports game, you're like, woohoo, yeah! And they're like, I could care less, right? You're near, but are you with? No. And I think sometimes we can be in church, we can be in the Bible, we can be in churchy environments, we can be near God, but not with Him. You know how many people in Bethlehem were near Jesus, but not with Him? As I read, only those shepherds were with Him that night, and a bunch of cattle. And so that's how some of us are in this situation. And that's why I love, love, love this verse that Jill read to us today from Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 and 23 that's in your bulletin. It says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek version of Joshua, and Joshua's name means he saves. You will call him, he saves. You will call him Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet when he said, what's that word? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. See, the whole reason why Jesus came is because God wants to have an encounter with you. God wants to be with you. He wants to save us. And he doesn't only want to be near to us. He wants to be with us. You see, I believe the whole gospel summed up in this. God wanted to be near us, so he gave his son for us that he could be with us. I'm going to say that again because that's really cool. And so God wanted to be near us, so he gave his son for us, then he could be with us. Jesus means Savior. And he came to be with us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us from our sins, is what that verse of Scripture says. And Jesus did not come to help us, to save ourselves, or to make a way for ourselves. He came to save us. The Bible is not about our journey to God. The Bible and the whole story of the Bible is about God's journey to you and me. God reaching out to us. When we were steeped in sin, God reached out to you and me and his son Jesus, bringing redemption to a lost and dying world. Now, I started thinking about this. For Christians, there are several things that I think keep us from being with God. There are several things that may even keep us from being near to God. And so I'm going to quickly touch on three of these because I could give a whole sermon on each of these, but I'm not because I know you got to get home today, all right? But for Christians, it's easier for us often to believe in God on the mountaintop. And so one of the things that keeps us away or keeps us separated or keeps God near but not with is valleys. The valleys in our lives. These typical valleys that seem to be there. These are areas, you know, I like God on the mountaintop. God on the mountaintop is great. God on the mountaintop when things are good and everything's great and people are doing well and the Spirit is moving and I can feel and experience God. I love those moments. However, the valleys seem more difficult. The valleys are those areas where you're alone, you're scared, you're hurting, you may have received bad news. It's where you're dealing with battles. You may be dealing with depression, desperation. Maybe you have marriage or kid struggles in the midst of there. And I love this verse from Psalm 84, which says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are on the highways to Zion." Zion being that city of God. That's where their heart is. But look what it says. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, the early rains cover with pools. What is the valley of Baca? It was a desert country. It was thorny. Wild animals were there, dangerous vipers. It was a place where you could actually hear people weeping and tears and things of loss. There are many of us, I bet, if we took a poll around here, that some of us have been through valleys in our lives. We've struggled through bad news. We struggled in bad relationships. We've been in a place where we don't even know what's wrong, but there's something wrong. Are you with me? And we just exist in that area. And yet, I don't like the valleys. But what I found out is I may enjoy God on the mountaintop, but I get to know him more intimately in the valleys. Anybody with me? Do you know God more in the valley? I've learned more about God in the valley than I ever could have ever thought of. It's an intimacy time. It's a time where I have to say, whatever I'm thinking isn't working, and I need you, God. But there's another one. There's another one here. It's the wilderness. The wilderness, this is times of trial and hardships. And, you know, a word that always seems to go in the wilderness is wandering. Wander through the wilderness. Anybody ever wander through the wilderness of your life? Just kind of trying to find out what tomorrow's about. Like, things may look good, but there's just something that's not right. You're wondering whether you're wandering, whether to stay in your job. You're wondering of should you go to school or should you continue in school. You're wondering whether to rent or to buy. You're wondering whether to keep dating this person in the hopes of maybe a proposal. And then you're also wandering in a fear that they may propose. You're wandering and wandering and wandering and wandering. And what I found is wilderness, much like the valleys, often comes after mountaintop experiences. Look at Jesus after, "This is my beloved son." He was taken out in the wilderness. And though we wander through the barren, dry places of our wilderness, we can truly experience God there if we look to him. The wilderness honestly helps us drive ourselves to depend on God. And the last thing is storms. Storms. Storms are difficult times. They're difficult times that seems to blow in out of anywhere. Anybody, everything's just been going great? That if I told you, I said, "Hey, how's life?" And you say, "Oh, it's fantastic. Everything's awesome. I'm really loving." And then all of a sudden, bam, hits you out of nowhere. Like, I've talked to people just recently, people who everything was good, and then all of a sudden they find out that their loved one is in the hospital and dying. Bam, like that. Or you may have been going along, and you're just enjoying a bright, sunny day, and all of a sudden you get a phone call that tells you someone died very suddenly. Or you're going to work, and you're smiling, and everything's good, and you're like, "Hey, I'm just glad I have a job," and you show up, and they say, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second? It's nothing you've done, but we need to cut back," and you lose your job. You see, the storms, you don't see them coming, but when they hit, they tend to throw you all off course. I was thinking about the hurricanes that we've experienced over the last several years, and, and the destruction that they make, Irma and Harvey and Katrina. And we live in a time now where actually we know they're coming because of technology. But I was thinking, can you imagine being in the days when you had no clue? And all of a sudden you see the clouds getting darker and here comes this hurricane. Or when you're like the people who in Thailand who experienced the great tsunami, that there's actually people that said, wow, what? Look at this. It's receding out, and they actually walked out. And little did they know that walking out pretty soon was going to come a wave that was going to take their whole lives or take their loved ones from them. For you, it may be a storm of divorce. It may be the storm of addiction that has hit your family. It may be death. It may be cancer. Or as someone shared with me this week, a diagnosis of ALS, which is one of the most horrific diseases you've ever heard. And so in the midst of your storm, you may be asking the same question. Where's God? Why did he let this happen? God, do something. You see, what I've learned about in any kind of storm, when the ship starts to go in Acts, when Paul's on the ship, and the storm comes up, they begin to throw everything off. All that stuff that used to be so valuable, and I understand it's the same way. I understand there's a whole bunch of containers floating out in the ocean. Do you know that? Those big containers that are on the back of trucks, they carry insurance because a storm comes up, sometimes they'll just go. And they're just floating around or sinking in the ocean. So you might be able to find something if you want to go get a submarine. I don't know. But what ends up happening? The stuff that is so valuable in your trip in life when the storm hits doesn't seem like anything. And you're desperate and willing to throw everything off. You see, many of us may be in a place where we say our marriage isn't going to make it. So I'm not going to try. Or I'm never going to get out of debt, and so I'm not going to try. I hear you, Jack, with financial peace, but it's not worked before. Others may say, I'm never going to graduate. I'm never going to have a child. I guess I'm always going to struggle with depression. Sometimes when we're in the storm, we kind of make a stupid decision that gets us in the storm. Like we leave the harbor when we see the storm rising. We may spend too much. We may try to fix people when we need to look at ourselves and what's going on there. We may be the people who procrastinate more than anybody in the world. We may have needed to shut our mouths in the case and opened it when we shouldn't have. We may need to speak when we remain silent, and it created storms. You see, these hit without a warning. See, in Psalm 16:8, it tells us an important verse in the New Living Translation. And in the midst of the storm, this is what we need to learn to grow to. I know that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. How many of us in our lives can we honestly open up and say, I know that the Lord is always with me? I know it. Yeah, I know all hell's breaking loose, but God is with me, and I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. So in this, I started thinking about this. Okay, God, what are the progressions? Because there's some progressions here of your saving nature. There's some progressions of what you've come to do, that as I behold you and how I get you from being near to with me, what is the progression that I need? And so I'm going to share with you a couple of these in our remaining time. Number one, he will save us. That's what he came here to do. He will save us from our sins because he is a what? Savior. That's his name. And let me look at this. There's a story of a little boy who went to write a letter to Santa. And he wrote this letter and he said, Dear Santa, I know this is a very, very busy time for you, but I just thought I'd share with you some information about our house. In our house, there are three boys. There's Jeffrey, he's 3 years old, and he's good some of the time. There's David, he's 4 years old, and he's good every once in a while. And then there's Norman, he's 8 years old, and he's good all the time. And I know, Santa, that you have so much to do, and you have so many people that are reaching out to you, but I just thought I'd like you to know what the situation is in our house before that big day. Yours truly, Norman. Now, great little letter, right? Except for there's a problem. We all know Norman ain't good all the time. We also know it's the same with us. None of us are Norman. None of us are spiritual Norman. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so here's the cool thing. Norman's not even good. We're not even good. Look at the person next to you and say, you ain't Norman. All right? And then look at him again and say, me neither. All right? Look at what it says here in Matthew 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name. He saves Jesus, for he will save his people from what? Their sins. Now, that's that word that makes us nervous because we've been dangled over the fires of hell and hit and yelled at for years about our sin. But we all have it. And we all need forgiveness from it. And there is only one who can forgive us, and his name is Jesus. Because that's what he came to do. We don't like to admit or talk about sin. It's kind of like body odor. You got it, but everybody knows you have it. But you say, I smell good. And they're like, no, you don't. You notice that? Notice that some of the stankiest people don't know they stink? Body odor. Body odor is sin. We have sin. We think we don't have it. We think sin works in comparison. I'm better than. No, you're still bad. You're still sinful. Isn't that nice? You can tell people, I went to Haven Community Church. I was told I'm bad. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. All right? But that's, and I told I had body odor too. All right? So there we go. It is like sin. You have to come to a point where you admit you got it. And then you need to go to the Savior to clean you up. So that's number one. He saves. Next thing he does. You know, because sometimes I think that God forgives like people, you know? And as I look around, a lot of the forgiveness that I've given and received in my life is conditional. And I want to share with you three things really quickly about God and how he forgives. Number one, God forgives freely. What's really interesting now, how many of you, if you pulled out your keys or your wallet, you have a billion little cards where you're earning points? Anybody do that? Like, you can earn points. I can earn points at Olympia or Hibbett's. I can earn points at Dunkin' Donuts. I can earn points at the grocery store, and Martin's, Giant, all that kind of stuff. Anybody earning points? Is that good? And then at the end when they print out, you say, you have saved or you have earned all these points. And I got to tell you, I'm earning a lot of points. And then when you get 10,000 points at some place, they'll give you a packet of sugar. Woohoo! Right? And if you get 20,000, then, hey, they'll give you a spoon to go along with it. I don't know. You know, we're earning all these points. I'm earning all these points. I'm getting points, points, points. I'm still broke. With me. I got points and points and points, and I'm spending all this kind of stuff. It's like when you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you kill yourself to do that stupid bowling thing and do all those dumb things, get a billion tickets, and they say, you can have a spider ring. What am I going to do with a spider ring? The dumbest thing ever. But man, I will spend $8 billion when I could get a whole pack of them from Miles Kimball. With me, aren't you? It's what we do in our sin. We're just spending and spending, and we're trying to earn something. We're trying to earn something that we can't earn. God gave it free to us. But he also does it completely. Completely. I got to tell you something. I'm tired. I'm tired of us thinking we have to do something else except admit to Jesus that we are a sinner and we're only saved by his grace. That's all we need to do. And guess what? I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. That's what you need to do. It's not about the other stuff. That stuff comes along. God saves us totally. You ever gone to people and they'll say, you say, I'm really sorry. And they say, I forgive you, but I'm never going to forget. Well, a lot of good that does me. Because the next time I screw up, you're going to pull that sucker out and be like, remember? I'm like, I thought you forgave me, but I didn't forget. That ain't fair. You know what's really awesome about God? The scripture tells us this. It tells us that he forgives and he forgets. And when we bring it back up, it grieves him more than it does us. That's a mighty God, and that's an awesome level of forgiveness that we have. Third thing God does is God forgives instantaneously. You don't have to go through a process or a school or whatever else to go ahead. You don't need a master's of divinity to be forgiven by God. All you need to say is, Jesus, I need a Savior. I am a mess. Forgive me of my sin. And he says, all right, let's do this. And it happens right away. It is the worst thing that you can ever do to try to save yourself in this world. Number two, the theme of today, he is with us. He saves us, and he is with us. Jesus is with us all the time. Now, I don't know about you. When I wrote this down in the bulletin and started planning the sermon, when I got this point, he is with us, every moment of the day, I got real nervous. And then I was really convicted of my sin. You with me? So, it's, you know, if you realize that he is with you, or even if he's near, it'll help you get to the point of needing forgiven. You with me? But it's really special to recognize that you're never alone. You see, I grew up in a church, and I connected to God and received a call to ministry, and I went to West Virginia University, go Mountaineers. And I was there, and I can tell you, during some of those times, I was in the loneliest parts of my life. I remember walking into the Coliseum where they play basketball with thousands of other people and feeling like I was all by myself. I had friends there, but inside me and in my life, I was completely alone. I gotta tell you, there's also been times in ministry where I felt all alone. But then when I get my bearing around me, I recognize, hey, wait a second. He's with me, and I'm never alone. You know, back when I was growing up, I've always been about this height or a little bit shorter. And I wasn't the biggest guy then, like I am now. All right? So, I had a couple friends, and both of them were black belts in karate. And one was like 6'3", big guy, all right? Glenn and Paul, you know? I never took a karate class in my life because I had them. You with me? So I go somewhere, somebody wanted to mess with us, I'd be like, all right, go get them. I'll sit back. I'm more the lover, not the fighter kind of guy. You with me? Okay, here, look at this pretty face. All right? So, but I was with them. Now, I got to tell you, if somebody started messing with me and they weren't around, I was afraid. And so, what I want to share with you is when they're with me, I say, Glenn, I can kind of go back behind them, just stand there near them. Get them, guys. You know, that kind of stuff. I could do that because I knew that they could deal with what was coming our way. And when God is with me, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know whatever this world throws at me, he's got it. And some of you just need to hear that today. Some of you need to know that whatever is being thrown at you today, that if God is with you, then he's got it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. God will never leave you alone. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with you. God is with you, no matter what you're dealing with. The last thing that I want to share with you today is this. God is for us. God is for us. Doesn't seem like it all the time in this world. Guess what? Because this world is not under he's allowing someone else to rule this world right now. But God is for you. Romans chapter 8 says this. What then shall we say to these things? It's a question here. If God is for us, who can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or even being butt naked? That's my verse translation. Or danger, or sword? Here's the answer. Everybody look here. Here's the answer. No! Can all that stuff separate you? Can a diagnosis of cancer separate you? No. Can death separate you? No. Can a tragedy in the family separate you? No. Can bankruptcy separate you? Can losing a job separate you? Can just a loss and everything that you can possibly imagine, can it separate you? The answer is no. Because in him, we are made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Because when he's near me, I can take whatever comes my way. because I'm not alone. So God has not only saved me, once he saved me, he is with me. And once he's with me, he's for me. I don't know if that means anything to you, but I think that's pretty stinking awesome. That whatever you are going through in your life, whatever you may have gone through in your life, God is for me and he is with me. God the Almighty is with you. Here's what I want to tell you. God cares so much about you that if he has a calendar, your birthday's on it. God cares so much for you that he said, hey, this first Christmas, I'm thinking about Jack. I'm thinking about Becky. I'm thinking about Harry. I'm thinking about Joe. I'm thinking about everybody. And so I'm going to give them the greatest gift I possibly can, my son Jesus, because you are special to me. You are so special to me. If God is for us, no one can be against us. Nothing, not struggles, not even the situations of your past, not the things that have broken you, not the things that have destroyed your life, not the things that have sent you down a path that tell you you're unloved. No. None of those things can keep you and separate you from the love and keep you from being a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Not the present, not the uncertainty of what you have in your life. I thought it was pretty fascinating that some of the songs today dealt with God's presence, with Emmanuel, with the grace of God. God knew what he was doing. I also find it interesting that last week Pastor Oog was going to talk to us from Haiti and it didn't work out. But I think it's awesome when I get to this point here. When I think back to that verse in that song, Light of the World, that Pastor Oog is probably one of the most committed Christians I've ever met in my life. The man could have a job in another career, and he's dedicated his life to the calling of God in this community. By the time we met him, he was dealing with struggles that you and I cannot imagine. Struggles of thinking, even to the point of wondering, having people around him wondering if it was God's will that he plant this church there, that he be involved in this community. And in his heart of hearts, he kept holding on, even in the midst that it brought his own ruin to himself and his own challenges to himself. And when we went, not this past year, but the year before, I talked to him maybe about this much. He was whisking around. He had his car for sale. He had all kinds of other things because of the challenges he had on his mind. And here we are on a trip, on a mission trip. And then God stirred something amazing. And then when we began to form a deeper relationship, and he begins to tell me, you are who I prayed for. We love Haven Community Church so much. You are the answer to our prayers. Imagine that. This is the answer to your prayers. Look around you. The answer to someone's prayer. For all who wait, for all who hunger, for those who pray, the world waits for a miracle. It's come in the light of the world, and his name is Jesus. And yet, I have to be honest. In this country that we are so blessed in many ways, at times I feel like the light of Christ is pretty dim. And I believe that God is with me, but in my journey, he's not shining very brightly. He hasn't moved. Maybe culture has, and maybe I have at times. Who else is praying? Who else is calling? But I want to tell you, I find it awesome that because of your love, that soldiers are going to go ahead and receive the light of the world. I am moved to the heart of hearts that because of your love, there's a little kid that's going to open up a box that's going to see the love of Christ in the midst of that. I am pleased that there is a community called Gressier, and there's a community called Laogon, and there's one called Petit Goave that are now part of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus, because he came to save us. He came to be with us. And he came for us, and that changes the world. That is the light of the world. Behold your King. Behold Messiah. Emmanuel. He is here with us. Amen and amen. All right. I'm going to ask that you just stand right now, and I want you to stop right now and say, God, where are you with me? If you never allowed him to save you, go ahead and start that today. If you feel like he's not with you or you're not with him, go ahead and open up your heart. We're going to have people up here to pray with you. And we will also be in the nature of God before you. He has come. His name is Emmanuel. Lord God, be with us here today, and let us draw near to you. Let us be with you. God, we need you to be like my friends. Somebody here needs you to be like my friends, that I have nothing to fear when you're there. For God, there's a big difference between being near and being with. Some of us here are experiencing deep, dark valleys. Some of us are experiencing barren wastelands and wilderness. Others of us have experienced a storm out of nowhere, or we may leave here today and boom, immediately a storm hits in our lives. Help us to hold on to the fact that you love us so much that you forgive us freely and completely and instantaneously, and that you're with us through all these things. But ultimately, God, that you are for us. Help us not be like Norman. He says, I'm good all the time and everybody else is just pretty bad. God, let's be open about those areas where we just really need to get really close to you. So right now, God, I know you've drawn near because your hand's been through this whole entire service. And I just pray that we'll let down the facade of just everything's good. And that, God, that you'll break our hearts right now. You'll break that heart of stone that is thereby hurt by pain, maybe just by stubbornness. And that as you chisel through it, God, that you'll give us a new heart. You're here. You're Emmanuel. God with us. Behold your King. Let's open our eyes and let's look for you. Let's open up our spiritual eyes and just welcome you into our hearts and our lives so that we can be with you. We love you, Lord. I'm just going to shut my mouth now and let you do your thing. In your name we pray.
Coming on the cloud.
Awesome, even that song God put in there, and Hosanna means save us and from our sins. So God wants to just wrap his arms around you and just love you and just be with you all the way. So I just pray that you're going to have an awesome week in the Lord, that you'll continue to keep him first and foremost in each and every day of your life. And next week we have a treat. Next week our Sunday school is going to go ahead, and our Sunday school kids are going to go ahead, and they're going to bring much of the service to us. And it's always great. They sing big and loud. They also give us some good stuff to think about. Did you love when they kind of like just bring it to us and just really get us centered back on what everything's about? And we're getting closer. We're getting closer to that celebration. Be thinking about people that you want to come know Jesus. Think about people who you want to come know not only the babe born in Bethlehem, but the Savior of the world. And this is a time that we want to connect to that. Everybody good? Yep. All right. So get out of here. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.